President Barack Obama announced a series of executive actions to combat gun violence in the United States. In his weekly address last weekend, he said his resolution for 2016 was to move forward with unfinished business, including, in his words, our epidemic of gun violence.
Today, he announced 10 separate provisions. One will expand mandatory background checks on some private sales. Another is going to provide more funding for mental health treatment, FBI staff, and agents for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.
Adam Winkler is with us now to go over these executive actions, how they might change gun control and gun politics in the United States. He's a professor of law at the UCLA School of Law and the author of the book Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America. Adam, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to start with President Obama talking today. Here he is laying out what could change, what would change when it comes to background checks under this executive action.
Anybody in the business of selling firearms must get a license and conduct background checks or be subject to criminal prosecutions. It doesn't matter whether you're doing it over the internet or at a gun show. It's not where you do it, but what you do.
So, Adam, some people have on the gun control side have been saying, hey, we need to crack down on what they call the gun control or the gun show loophole. We need background checks on all weapons sales. That's not it. That's not what's happening now, is it?
Well, the president doesn't have the authority to just close the so-called gun show loophole. Should specify that there isn't really a loophole for gun shows. It's a loophole that says if you're not a federally licensed dealer, you don't have to conduct a background check when you sell a gun. And you only have to get a license if you're engaged in the business of selling firearms, such as you use it to make your livelihood or whatnot. And so what the president's doing is trying to narrow the loophole a little bit and try to just make it so that some people who are either selling guns and should have basically selling guns and should have a license, that they'll be prosecuted.
So if I have a gun and I sell it to, I don't know, a neighbor or something like that, this would not change anything for me. I'm not I wouldn't need a federal license to sell that gun. This would be what? Somebody who sells guns repeatedly over the internet or makes some kind of living selling at gun shows? Those would be the people who might be affected by this?
Exactly. This is not going to affect just an individual who, say, inherits a gun from their parents or a couple of guns or even a gun collection and wants to sell a collection of 50 or 100 guns at one time. What this is the administration said, hey, look, federal law already requires you to have a license if you're engaged in the business of selling firearms. But prosecutors, federal prosecutors, sometimes haven't known exactly what that means to be engaged in the business of selling firearms. Is it someone who sells 2 guns a month, 3 guns a month? Does it even depend on the number of guns that you sell every month? And so what the administration did is it gave guidance to prosecutors to say, hey, you don't have to focus solely on the question of the number of guns a month. You could look at a whole bunch of variables, such as are they selling guns in the original packaging? Are they selling guns right after buying them? Other things that might indicate that they are actually in the business of selling guns and not just sort of the occasional seller like someone you talk about before.
Now, Republicans in particular, gun rights groups reacted actually to the announcement today, not happy about it. I'm assuming we're likely to see legal challenges, probably both on Second Amendment grounds and on the grounds that this might exceed executive authority, President Obama's authority, and challenging Congress's authority. Do you expect to see that and soon?
Well, I guess anything that President Obama does gets legal challenges, so I expect that there should be some legal challenges to this. I don't expect they're going to go very far. The story about today was that Obama, one, had a series of pretty minor reforms, and in fact, that clip that you played where he said that every person engaged in the business of selling firearms must do a background check, and he got all that sustained applause, you'd almost think like it was a new initiative. In fact, that's been the law for almost 50 years, and it's not been... So it's been a subject of some debate about exactly who needs to have that license. But the actual substance of what he did was pretty minor. I think the major thrust of it was what it really says about sort of the symbolics of gun control today. We've seen a really renewed and invigorated gun control movement, still no match for the NRA, but still we're seeing a real political mobilization on the gun control side, and that's really highlighted by what seemed to be quite a big to-do about a series of pretty minor reforms.
Well, Well, speaking of the symbolism and the emotion behind it, a lot of people have drawn attention to President Obama tearing up, actually wiping away tears during part of his address today. Here's a clip of around when that was happening.
Our unalienable right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, those rights were stripped from college kids in Blacksburg and Santa Barbara and from high schoolers at Columbine. And from first graders in Newtown. First graders. And from every family who never imagined that their loved one would be taken from our lives by a bullet from a gun.
And in those pauses, you can hear the cameras clicking away, capturing the image of Obama tearing up, wiping away tears. Is this more emotional than we've seen the president get on gun control issues in previous statements?
I think this really highlights how meaningful this issue really has become to the president. You know, when he ran in 2008 and when he ran for re-election in 2012, he didn't talk about gun control at all. He ran away from gun control, talked about the Second Amendment because it was thought to be a real strong loser on Election Day for Democrats. President Obama, as a result, really wasn't interested in gun control until the Newtown shooting. And the Newtown shooting really changed him. And he was passionate right after that shooting about how we need to really do something about gun violence and pushed a big initiative that was pretty high risk because he knew that the prospects for getting serious reform were not great in Congress. But he pushed it, and he's still pushing it. And even for these, like I say, relatively minor reforms, there was quite a big show today in Washington. And I don't say that in a negative way. It's really about how important I think the president really feels this issue is, that it's worth this kind of bully pulpit and emphasis, even if there's only so much he can do.
Talking to Adam Winkler from UCLA, author of the book Gunfight, about the gun control measures, executive actions announced today by President Obama. Want to get into some of the other details of his plan here, Adam. More funding for FBI staff and ATF to try to process gun background checks more quickly.
Well, I think part of the story today, too, is how what these proposals are largely revolved around increasing mental health screening for gun purchases and, as you mentioned, more agents for ATF, more FBI help, and more clear prosecutorial guidance for U.S. attorneys. So it's enforce the laws that we have on the books. Look, the NRA has been talking all this time. What we need to do is do more on on mental health, and we need to enforce the laws on the books. And that's precisely what these proposals amount to. They're focused on the exact same issues that the NRA has been talking about for all these years. And beefing up the number of FBI agents to do background checks is important because gun sales have skyrocketed, and there's a lot more background checks to do.
And on the mental health issue, the president careful not to stigmatize people with mental health problems, pointing out that the greatest danger when it comes to mental health and guns is suicide risk, trying to draw attention to that in this address.
It's one of the real sort of hidden things about guns in America, to the extent there's any hidden thing, is that guns are primarily a problem for suicide, not homicide. Now, that's not to say there's not a homicide problem and gang violence and whatnot, but criminal misuse of firearms takes fewer lives every year than firearms do as suicide. And while it's very difficult to keep guns out of the hands of criminals, the NRA is kind of right about that. A determined criminal will get their hands on guns. But a depressed teenager or a depressed person who otherwise doesn't have guns might be actually kept from getting a gun and kept from committing suicide. Not to say they wouldn't try some other means, but we know from studies that guns are the most effective form of suicide by far, and any other means of suicide is likely to lead to actually the person surviving.
Looking at the president's ability to do these things, it's a mixed bag, you say, of fairly small measures. Is President Obama on any of these measures overstepping his authority as president, as his critics say he's doing?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. There's only one. I think none of the things that were announced today pose significant risks of being struck down by the courts. There's one issue that he talked about with regards to Social Security Administration and whether people declared incompetent to manage their affairs for Social Security purposes should be prohibited from accessing guns. But we're not sure exactly what the rule is going to look like, and it's probably not going to be promulgated for a whole other year. So we'll have to see what that looks like. But that could cause some problems down the line. But again, we need to see what the proposal is.
That's the legal side. Presidential race side, candidates on both sides responding to this. Hillary Clinton saying, yes, and I want to go further. Republicans saying, no, and we'll end all of this the moment we become president.
Well, it really is shaping up that the 2016 election may well be a referendum on gun control. We've had the presidential candidates on both sides really staking out strong positions on guns and gun control, and it's becoming really one of the hot-button issues. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot more emphasis on guns in the coming months among these candidates.
We're talking to Adam Winkler of the UCLA School of Law about the executive actions President Obama announced today on gun control.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the president's plan on gun control? Do you think he went too far or not far enough? And how will these new executive actions affect you? You can call in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Adam Winkler from the UCLA School of Law about President Obama's new executive actions on gun control.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the announcement? Too much? You don't like what you're seeing? Or not enough? You want to see more? You want to see Congress take action? What do you think needs to be done to end what President Obama is calling an epidemic of gun violence? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Doug is on the line in Waukesha. Doug, hi.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. If I'm not mistaken, about 20 years ago, give or take, President Clinton attempted to close this gun show loophole by requiring federal firearm FFL, federal firearm licensees, that is people who hold the federal firearms license to be able to sell firearms, they had to have a storefront. That was supposed to close this gun show loophole because you wouldn't be someone who then just operated out of a catalog. You had to have a physical storefront. That eliminated scores of federal firearm licensees across the country. If I'm not mistaken, it sounds like President Obama is, in essence, reversing that and saying, no, no, you don't have to have a federal firearm license. You don't have to have a storefront. You just have to have this preponderance of totality that we're going to look at to say you're making your living out of selling firearms. We don't care if you're doing it out of a catalog or a storefront or however you're doing it.
Doug, thanks a lot for the call. Adam, does his history match up with your understanding of what President Clinton had done?
Well, in the general framework, yes, in the sense that there was an effort by the Clinton administration to reduce the number of federal firearms licensees. There was the thought at the time that if we reduce the number of licensees, we'd have fewer people that we have to investigate, have to check inventory, have to watch over with limited resources for ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And so there was a sense then that we needed to do make it easier for ATF. What's happened since then is the rise of these internet marketplaces that make it very easy for people to become effective gun dealers out of their homes, even without a license, and then they don't have to do a background check. And so part of the idea is responding to new technologies. Now the sense is that what we need to do is prosecute those people who are really engaged in the business of selling firearms but don't have a license.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Bill in Iowa City. Bill, hi.
Hi. You know, I'm curious what's going to constitute a dealer if you sell one gun, two. And the other thing is, why not prosecute the laws we already have that aren't prosecuted instead of making up more laws and putting more burden that we're not going to use anyway?
Bill,
why not prosecute the laws we already have?
Thanks for the call, Bill. So let's start with that second point. Adam, do we have a lot of gun laws out there that aren't being particularly well enforced?
We do have some gun laws out there that are not well enforced, and we need to do more to enforce them. I think part of the thrust of what President Obama proposed today was to focus more priorities on enforcing the gun laws that we have. And so, for instance, the issue with the gun dealers and whether you have to get a license or not, you know, that's existing law, and it's trying to figure out a way to enforce it and enforce it better so that it's actually doing more to accomplish its goals. And so I think you see a lot of that from the administration with these proposals. It is about enforcing the laws we have on the books and not necessarily imposing more burdens on anyone other than someone who's already by law engaged in the business and should have a license.
Bill, thanks for that call. Bill, also wondering, and I don't know if we know all the details here, how are they going to determine who's an occasional seller of guns or passing along guns and who's a gun dealer? Do we know how that border is set now? Adam?
They do have what the administration said was that prosecutors now should follow the lead of the federal courts that have weighed in on this issue in the past. And it's not a question of how many guns a month you sell, which was an old focus of the law, but rather a broader look at a variety of different variables that suggest that someone's really a gun dealer. So if you sell even not necessarily two or three guns a month, but when you sell guns, you're always selling guns that you just bought recently, say the week before. You're selling the guns in their original packaging. You're holding yourself out as a gun dealer with a business card, perhaps, or a website. Those kinds of things can be factored into determining whether someone's engaged in the business of selling firearms. So I think that's what the courts have previously said. What the administration has done is basically created clarification for prosecutors that they can go after those cases, and they don't have to slavishly focus on whether you have a storefront or whether you sell two or three or five guns a month.
Talking to gun policy expert Adam Winkler from UCLA about President Obama's announcement on executive action related to gun control today. Back to our callers now with Kay in Eagle River. Kay, hi.
Hi. Yes, you're asking about, did Obama go far enough? And I honestly don't think he did, because I think there should be something, regulations in terms of the automatic weapons. I mean, I don't know if you spoke about this earlier. I came in and out late, but I think I'm all for having guns, but do people really need to have a cache of, hundreds of automatic weapons and that kind of? I would think that if somebody had to reload, it would take them, if you're willing, looking to take out a bunch of people, it would take out less people.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. Adam, as I understand it, fully automatic weapons are regulated, but a lot of people are worried about high-capacity weapons, a lot of ammo, and a high rate of fire.
That's right. There's none of the issues with the guns today are really about automatic weapons, such as machine guns. We talk about semi-automatics, but that's a very different terminology, and technically it's really no different than a revolver in terms of you want to shoot twice, you got to pull the trigger twice. What's different is about modern-day guns are these high-capacity magazines. They're commonly found in military-style assault rifles, but also found in handguns, and most police officers, frankly, carry high-capacity magazines with them on their as part of their sidearm. So these have become very popular, and they do increase the lethality of firearms. There's not a lot the president can do at this point. He would really need Congress to step in to try to ban high-capacity magazines, and that was one of the proposals that President Obama put forward in the wake of Newtown, but it never went anywhere due to really the NRA's influence in Congress.
Okay, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Rick on the line in Brookfield. Rick, hi.
How you doing? I just have a question that would be retroactive. If these regulations were enacted, would they have prevented, for example, Columbine, Sandy Hook, and the other tragedies? Would they really have been effective?
Well, that's a great question, and I always think that in some ways it's the wrong question, in the sense of gun policy should be about lowering the daily death toll from guns, not about figuring out whether a specific incident could have been avoided or not. But at least some of these incidents might have been avoided or might have had at least more roadblocks. So, for instance, we know that the Charleston shooter was supposed to have failed his background check, but when he went through the system, they had 3 days to conduct the background check and do all the information, and they couldn't get all the information they needed in those 3 days, and so he was allowed to get his gun, which he then used to kill a number of people in a church. If one of the things that the president has proposed is having many more FBI agents to conduct background checks so that they have the resources to go through those background checks expeditiously and do a good job on it. We should all be celebrating the idea that we're doing better background checks. Whether you're pro-gun or anti-gun, we all agree that to the extent the law requires you to have a background check, it should be a good and effective one.
Thanks a lot for that call, Rick. And Adam, I wanted to get, we've gotten into the politics and some of the legal issues here. I want to get into the business side of things. We see when there's an announcement like this, or an announcement like this expected, or after a major shooting, there's generally a spike in gun sales. The gun business is doing quite well here in the United States, partly with people anticipating future gun control, isn't it?
Well, I think, you know, President Obama's legacy will be, in part, things like Obamacare and same-sex marriage, but it will also be a story about guns and how he made guns such a big issue, but yet was so frustrated in his efforts to get significant reform. Unfortunately, one of the aspects of that legacy that we'll also talk about is how gun sales have really spiked during the Obama administration. The fear of gun control efforts has really led to skyrocketing purchasing of firearms. Before President Obama was elected, we used to have about 6 million background checks conducted a year, so about 6 million guns sold through federally licensed dealers. Now we're having 20 million guns a year sold through federally licensed dealers. So we've seen a huge skyrocket, the business of guns as well. I understand that some of the stock prices for gun makers were up today, too.
And I don't want to let you go without asking about the states on this. Congress not doing much. President Obama saying he's doing what he can. Are we seeing a lot of action at the state level?
It's all at the state level at this point. Obama's reforms through executive action are pretty minor because there's not much he can do. Nothing's happening in Congress on gun issues or, to be fair, on just about any other issue either. But it doesn't look like the GOP is going to lose the House of Representatives as long as the GOP is in control of the House. Don't really expect any new significant federal legislation to be passed, no matter who's elected in 2016. So as a result, the focus of gun control efforts is going to be on the states.
Adam, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Adam Winkler. He's a professor of law at the UCLA School of Law. He joined us to talk about President Obama's announcement today of new executive actions on gun control.